Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. For nearly three decades, the Toronto Mass Choir has been sharing God's good news through music that incorporates contemporary gospel, traditional gospel, and Caribbean influences. The Juno Award-winning Ward Choir recently released its 10th CD, a full-length live worship album titled Made for Worship. With us tonight on the phone from her Brampton home office is choir co-founder and artistic director Karen Burke to talk about the choir and the new CD. But before we begin our conversation with Karen, let's take a listen to Anthem of Praise from the Toronto Mass Choir's new CD, Made for Worship.
And power belong to God.
Glory and honor and power belong to God.
Holy and omnipotent, you are Almighty God.
Holy and omnipotent, you are Almighty God.
Boundless and infinite, you deserve the highest
praise.
Eternal and measureless, perfect in all your ways.
Eternal and measureless.
Your face.
Great and magnificent, oh Lord, I seek your face.
Worthy and unlimited, Lord, I seek your praise.
Worthy and unlimited, Lord, I seek your praise.
Matchless and absolute, I will do what you say.
Oh, and I will do what you say.
Amazing and awesome.
Karen Burke. Good evening, Karen.
Hi.
Now, you've been part of the Toronto Mass Choir since it began. You're a Royal Conservatory music grad and a professor of music. When did you yourself first start enjoying making music?
Well, I don't know a time when I haven't been. My parents were very much into music. They were teachers, but their weekend love was making music, and we actually toured as a gospel family. My sister and I and my parents, all the years we were growing up, and then my grandmother and their whole family on both sides, everybody sang and made music. So I just thought it was a way of life, and didn't realize that not all families were like that until I got much older.
Well, how did you move from that to actually deciding to make music a career, like both as a singer, as a teacher, and that work? How did that transition come?
I knew that I wanted to be involved with music, but I don't think I ever thought of it as a career, and until I started flipping through catalogs looking for what to take at university, and I thought, well, I would like history. I'm going to take history, even though I'd been taking piano lessons up to that point for about 12, 13 years, etc. And I was flipping through, and I thought, music? You can take music at university? And so I started looking at it, and I had all the qualifications, and I just went into it, and fully. By the third year, they recognized I had a gift for conducting. And so that was really what started me on the path of creating a career where I was sharing people with music, primarily as a piano teacher and a conductor, choral conductor, and then a church music director. So my involvement with choirs has been, quite early. But with Toronto Mass Choir, that came a little bit after we got married, and it seemed a natural outflow of everything I was doing.
Well, did you get were you encouraged by your parents to go along the musical path?
You know, it's interesting. They just wanted us to, you know, enjoy our lives, and I think, you know, follow Christ and enjoy your life. There really wasn't any get into music kind of thing, because we were into music. Was it a matter of making music a full-time career? I don't think it was ever, you know, discouraged or encouraged. It was just a matter of this is what our passion was, and I'm always tell my students, you know, your money will follow your passion, so just go after it, you know. And I think that was probably influenced by my parents who loved music so very, very much and encouraged us to always give a service with our music.
Well, growing up and that, who have been some of the influences on you as a musician? Who have been some of your own musical influences?
Well, without a doubt, my grandmother was my largest musical influence. And, you know, she was fully into music in terms of, you know, church music organist for, you know, 40-plus years. And we had a really close bond. When I went to her house, we'd play duets and we talked about music. And she liked contemporary music, too, like music that I liked. And it was a kind of a very interesting, our own sort of musical connection that we had made. And when I became a teenager and was thinking like most teenagers do at that time, maybe I'll stop taking lessons, I can remember her saying to me, well, I don't know if I would do that if I were you. And after that, I decided, you know what, I'm going to do this full time. I'm going to go head on into it. So I really credit her with teaching me and encouraging me in my love for music, but also teaching me everything that I know today about being a church musician. And her lessons I still repeat, and even in my own teaching when I'm talking to students about getting along with people in choirs and how you teach music, those lessons came very, very early. And without a doubt, you know, my parents were, you know, obviously models of what music looks like in a person's life. But in terms of musical influence, it's definitely my grandmother, Florence Jones.
When you were going through school and that, and you started being exposed to various other musicians and styles of music and things like that, was there anybody that sort of you sort of looked at and thought, I like that particular style, or I like that particular musician, and that sort of help you in terms of determining your own path?
Yeah, there were two couple of people that I can think of that were musically influential, and they were in university. She's no longer with us, but Denise Narcisse-Mayer was my model for choral conducting. She was a wonderful black woman raised in England, but originally from Jamaica. And when she walked into a room, you know, she was 6'1" and an amazing presence in a room. And I just always thought, I want to be just like her as a choral conductor. I want to be able to command a room like that. I was like 5'0", but I needed to have the thought in my mind of being able to command a room. And she was the one who recognized my abilities in choral conducting, actually got me my first job as a choral conductor, etc. So definitely her. Valerie Tryon was my piano teacher at McMaster, and really helped me develop my classical piano chops and love of teaching, which I continue to do today, piano teaching. And then, of course, I was involved with gospel music all along, listening to great people like Andre Crouch and Walter Hawkins and people like that who had a tremendous impact on my writing. Because, I mean, I am a choral conductor, but, you know, I think primarily I'm a songwriter. And that has been, you know, the influences very early on that continue to inspire me today.
You mentioned being a songwriter, and there are a couple of songs on the new Toronto Mass Choir CD, Made for Worship, that you've been involved in writing. How did you get involved in, or when did the writing music begin for you, especially to the point where you were able to write music that was being able to be performed?
Well, I was always writing music from, you know, from age, wow, really early. I have compositions from when I was 8 and 10 years old. But getting into writing for choirs was something that came from being a choral conductor, because you spend a lot of time with your choirs, but I wasn't always finding the music that I wanted for them. And so I just started creating my own, and these ideas were always in my head. When you get to know your choirs, I mean, a choral conductor is a musician. It's just that our instrument is flesh and blood. So getting to know them is like getting to know your instrument, your guitar, your piano. And then when I would write with them in mind. And I think the most wonderful thing that a songwriter can have is an opportunity to have your music performed as soon as you write it, which most people don't. But I did. I would be writing for choirs, and then I'd go to rehearsal, and they could sing it, you know, the next week. And sometimes in the early days of Toronto Mass Choir, we'd be in prayer. A song would come into my head from the Lord. We'd open our eyes, and I'd say, I have a song to teach you, and I would just be able to teach it right there on the spot. So that is a gift to me, being able to have that immediate response and be able to hear the music back live from what was in my head. And I think that helped me to spur my ideas and to help me to create many, many compositions. I probably have well over 40 compositions that have been published and recorded.
Well, what I need to do is take a quick break, and then we come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Toronto Mass Choir itself and about the new CD, Made for Worship. We'll do that with our guest, Toronto Mass Choir Artistic Director and co-founder, Karen Burke. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Connection. You've been listening to Holy is the Lord from the Toronto Mass Choir's new CD, Made for Worship. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Choir Director Karen Burke. I really like that version of Holy is the Lord, that reggae feel to it. It's that ability to take a song that is so familiar and create a new way of hearing it. Was that something that you deliberately did with that particular song?
Yes, and I definitely can't take credit for that idea. My husband, whom I met in the early 80s, is from Jamaica, and he had a background in reggae music. And when we got married, when we record, we had a group called Sweet Sound, and then we started the choir together in 1988. And just about every recording has some song that's set to Caribbean, because that's where he's from. I remember being in church together, and they were singing the song Holy is the Lord, and he wrote on a piece of paper and passed it to me, said, this would be great set as a reggae tune. And I, at the time, I was like, what? But he's never wrong about these things. And over the years, we've done arrangements that have been largely inspired by my husband's ideas. And once you get this sense of what it is, you can just roll with it. And that's been a crowd favorite.
Well, you talked briefly about starting the choir up. How did the whole thing come together in 1988? How did the choir itself come together?
Well, my husband and I had been involved in music ministry at different places. I was a church music director. I was a young teacher, and there was gospel music community was evolving in Toronto. It was still quite small, but we did things together. And one of the things that we wanted to emulate was this phenomena of the mass choir, which was happening in the States. So you had different choirs like the LA Mass Choir, the Mississippi Mass Choir. And so somebody came and said, why don't we do a recording, you know, with mass of people? And so we started that summer of 88, 87 probably, with 100 people. And we taught them songs, and I don't think they were, yeah, there were some original songs, but, you know, it was just a matter of getting people together, teaching them the music, and we recorded it live. And at the end of the night, we said, great, that was wonderful, goodbye. And they were like, well, can we not get together once a month? And it kind of just started that way. We just started getting together once a month, and then we actually released the recording that we had done. But then when we released it, we realized we needed to travel, and we needed to let people know about it. But once you get into that, then people have to start making a commitment to being in a group. And so that was really when the fall off came. So the 100 became 60, and then it was a matter of how do you travel with 60. And then, you know, we just decided at one point early on, maybe 92, that if we were going to do this, we had to do it properly. So we stopped everything, and we started again with a purpose in mind of actually being a choir, being a recording choir, being a tool used by God. And it has just grown exponentially since that time.
Looking at that, what have been some of the challenge? Like that, it seemed to be one of the challenges. But what are some of the other challenges that the choir has faced as it's evolved into what it is today?
Wow, do we have a couple hours? No, I'm just I think the biggest thing is just when you're working with people, as anybody knows, you know, you have an ebb and flow. It's not, you know, doing choirs is so not about the music. I mean, the music is what we do, but it's the relationships that make it happen. And anybody who's a choral conductor and is worth a grain of salt knows that, pays attention to that, and I am huge on that. So we have experienced, you know, the regular attrition that happens with, you know, just in terms of like a big show would come in town and everybody goes to, you know, audition for it and there goes the choir kind of thing. Those things have happened. So-and-so, you know, has a follow-up with so-and-so, they're gone. You know, those things happen. But as you get smarter over the years, you realize that it's not the people that leave, it's the people that stay. And you work with your core and you build from where God wants you to be. You pay attention to relationships and let God do the rest. And once we've decided to create something that was God-honoring, that was solely for Him, and it started to attract people who are all about that same thing as well. And we have people in the choir today that have been there since we started in 1988, and many people that have been there for more than 15 years. And I love that we have a core of people. But as well, we keep adding new people, and we just had auditions recently and, you know, added another 12 people. So God is good all the time.
Well, and you've now, this is Made for Worship is the choir's 10th CD. Why this CD at this particular time?
Yes, we've done so many different types of albums and you know, full Caribbean gospel album, Christmas album, but we just thought it was an opportunity for us to create original worship material. I mean, the worship scene right now in the churches, of course, has been quite big for a while, but there's a certain sound that we have been developing that we felt was missing from that voice. And so we set about, and actually again with my husband, who spearheaded the idea, challenging our writers to come up with music that was vertical worship. That's how we termed it, vertical worship, that wasn't about God, but was to God. And it was music that captured the best of what the worship music has to offer, but also the best of what gospel music has to offer, and to create something that was uniquely Canadian and uniquely TMC. And I believe we've done that.
And well, you kind of approach that whole aspect when you're in your thank you notes, when you're talking about the choice of the album title and that specific choice to name the CD Made for Worship, mm-hmm, instead of Made to Worship. Now, why did you make a distinction between those two phrases?
Because I I believe a lot of people think that if they're a great singer or they're a worship leader, then they're made to worship. And it's not the creation of us that is to be praised, but it is Him that's to be praised. And I think so many times we worship, and we need to remember that we're made for worship, meaning that it's not just our singing or whatever talent that it is that we have, but it's our lifestyle, and it's who we are. We're worshipers all the time. And when we wrap our heads around that, then it takes on a huge connotation, and that hopefully the person listening will be able to wrap their head around the fact that they also are made for worship, and that could be through their job or through the way that they serve or the help that they give to someone along the way, the smiles during the day. This is all an opportunity for us to worship the Lord.
Well, the other thing I like about the CD is the fact that it's a live, it's done as out of a live concert, and there's something about the energy that a choir has in a performance, a live performance, that differs from being able to go into a studio and just record in a studio. Was that a deliberate choice to try and capture that energy?
Yes, absolutely. Very, very deliberate. And you're quite right that it is very hard to recapture that in a studio setting. It can be quite sterile. There is a better risk when you go into a live recording, but you cannot duplicate the energy from the audience. And we really wanted, even from the audience perspective that night, not for them to be sitting in a recording, but for them to have a worship experience and to try to capture as much of that on the record so that people could have that experience again and again. And it truly was beyond our expectations. The whole night was so memorable. And I said to my husband, I can remember saying after we finished that night that, we've been recording albums at that point, 25 years, and that definitely was the best night of my life. It was an incredible experience, and I'm so thankful that we were able to get it on, not only on the record, but on the DVD.
Well, we're going to take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with Toronto Mass Choir Artistic Director Karen Burke. I'm your host, Robert White, and you listen to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Come on and clap those hands, everybody.
Church from the Made for Worship CD by the Toronto Mass Choir. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with our Artistic Director Karen Burke. Again, I like that this particular song, you've taken some older traditional gospel songs, put them together into a different setting, and it creates something that again gives people a chance to listen to something that sounds new.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that, you know, these, what I call happy clappy songs, it is a lot what people think about when they think about gospel music. And so we always want to include something like that on our albums and in our concerts that helps people get involved. And I will just say to people, you know, if you haven't broke a sweat when you're at a gospel choir, you haven't been. So, you know, they get involved, they're on their feet, they're clapping, and we have people in the choir who can just take those songs and run with them, and we have a great, great time. So the old songs, you can never, ever go along without those.
Now, what's next on the agenda for the choir?
Well, I think right this time we're just trying to build awareness that we've been around for a long time, and so we want people to know we're still here, and we want to keep creating music that's God-honoring and truly Canadian. When we started, you know, the gospel music industry in Canada, very, very, very small, but we have developed, I believe, our own sound, and when we travel outside of the country, people are always mentioning that. They'll say, wow, you sound different, which I'm so happy about. So we definitely want to continue in that vein and want to travel with the choir to different places, especially in the States, so that we can reconnect and spread the word. But also, too, the choir has many fingers in terms of community outreach, and we love supporting people who are doing great things in the community. We just started a youth scholarship fund, and you know, we want to be mentors to people who are further back than we are. When we started, there was not too many people. Well, really, we're the longest-running, I think, contemporary gospel choir in Canada, so there wasn't really too much precedence for what we were doing in this country. But we do want to reach back and help those people who are trying to move forward for the Lord.
And where can people get more information about the Toronto Mass Choir and about the Made for Worship CD?
Our website is tmc.ca. Really, really easy. And that has a place where you can buy our albums and listen to our albums and also find out about where the choir is in performance and all the special things that we do, like our Power Up Gospel Workshop every year and the special events that we do to get into the community. I love the fact that the choir is has planted it well in Toronto, but also makes its place known in other cities and other countries as well. So Thankful that the Lord will continue that.
All right. Well, Karen, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Karen Burke. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.